John chapter number 3 is where we're going to be tonight. And while you're turning there, if you're not there already, I do just want to say thank you to our church, the way that you get behind families when they need something, when they're in the middle of a trial or a trouble. And I know that even in some other situations where we didn't know how to be there, that y'all still have a desire to be there for people who are hurting and have lost loved ones. And I just want to tell the church how much I appreciate you being there, because sometimes y'all are there when I can't be. And I really appreciate you for that. John chapter number 3, very familiar scripture tonight. And as we get into John chapter number 3, we know that Nicodemus here was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader. He was somebody that should have known the answer to all the questions that he's fixing to ask Jesus. And he comes to Jesus and he says, how do I be saved, or how do I go to heaven? And Jesus tells him that he has to be born again. And I'm not going to get into reading all of this scripture because it is so familiar. But then Nicodemus don't understand. He said, what do you mean? How do I enter into my mother's womb again and be born again? And of course, Christ begins to explain to him that that's not what he's talking about. But where we want to get to tonight is verse number 16, maybe one of the most memorized scriptures in the Bible. I know it's probably one of the first that I ever memorized. John chapter number 3, verse number 16 says, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. As Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he's actually witnessing to Nicodemus, how great would it be to have Jesus witness to you? For him to be the one that speaks to you. And wait a minute. That's exactly what he did. When I got saved, he was the one that spoke to me, and he witnessed to me, and he led me to saving grace the night when I was 7 years old. And man, what love that Christ had for us. And as John chapter number 3 and verse number 16 says, for God so loved the world. I don't understand how God loved us the way that he loved us. Today in our population, people have been talking about love and sending flowers and all that wonderful stuff. And all that's great and that's fine. But I don't think that a lot of people even understand what love is. You know, the Bible tells me that God is love. And without God, that it is impossible for me to love. So a whole lot of this, what people call love, is not really even love. It's caring very deeply. But without Christ in your life and without God being your Heavenly Father, it's impossible for us to love. But he says here, he says, for God so loved. You know, when God knew that our weaknesses would lead us to having faults and having failures, he knew what our thoughts would be. He knew the intents of our heart. He knows when you do something good, whether you're doing it for gain or whether you're doing it because you truly love somebody. He knows that when thoughts go through my mind that nobody else knows, that God knows those thoughts, that God knows every time that I fall, every time that I come short, every time that I'm supposed to do something good that I don't do. The Bible says that that is sin. And God knows all of those things about me. And even though that he knew all of those things about me, the Bible tells me here that he so loved. That, you know, a lot of times we put limitations on love. We put in parentheses, I'll love you as long as you meet this criteria. And so many times but I'm glad that God, even though he knew exactly what I was, he knew exactly what I was going to be, he knew how much that I was going to fail him even after I got saved. Wouldn't it be wonderful that since the time that you got saved, if the day that you got saved, that all of a sudden your fleshly desires went away, all of a sudden, you didn't have to struggle. You didn't have to try to live for God. That everything was just holy and it was just wonderful in your life, and that you was able to walk a perfect life for God. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But see, God knew that about us, and he knew that our flesh would still battle, and he knew that we would fall to our flesh, and he knew that our flesh would win sometimes. He even knew, I know we don't like to say it like this, but he even knew that we would on purposely choose to sin from time to time. We don't like to say it like that. We like to say, well, yeah, I may sin, but it's always a mistake. It's always an accident. Or we even like to go even a little further and say, well, when I sin, you know, the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And the only way that I sin is because I don't do the good things that I'm supposed to do. Well, I want to tell you, standing here tonight, that there are times in our lives that we choose to sin and we go against God's will in our lives. Okay, let me back up. That I sin sometimes. I choose to go again. I won't put y'all in the same boat with me. that I choose to go against God's will in my life sometimes. And God knew that I was going to be like that. You know what? I put limitations on people, and I love people as long as they fit my little box. And as long as they fit in my little box, I'll love them and I'll be there for them. But you get out on the outside of my box, or you offend me, or you come against me, and all of a sudden my love for you dwindles. But this part right here where it says, for God so loved, do you know that God so loved us so much that while we were yet sinners that Christ died for us? That God so loved us so much that even through those faults and those failures that He was willing to give His only begotten Son. That whosoever, without limitation, without having to meet any criteria, that God loved you so much that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves us without limitations. He loves us without us having to meet any criteria. So when we begin to hear the voice of God and we turn our life over to God and we say that we become Christians, we say, you know, it tears me up when I'm watching TV and it says there are however many millions or trillions of Christians out there. I don't know because they group too many people in a group there. You know, to be a Christian means that you should be Christ-like. That is, you have a desire to live like Christ, to love like Christ, and to be what Christ wants you to be. So when we become Christians and we're supposed to be Christ-like, we're supposed to desire to be like Christ, and the Bible tells us that there is no greater love than the love that Christ had for us. John chapter number 15, verse number 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. As we look at being Christ-like, we look at John chapter number 3, verse number 16, that God so loved us. Then we look, and the Bible tells us in John chapter number 15 that Christ commands us to love one another as He has loved us. And then He says, but there's no greater love than the love that I've had for you, because I laid my life down for you. So in other words, Christ has set a bar really high for us. Christ has said, I want you to love one another like I've loved you, but just know that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That Christ laid down His life for us, and He has set a bar of perfect love for us. He has set an example of perfect love for us. But as I become a Christian and as I become to wanting to be Christ-like, I am supposed to want to love like Christ loves. Now, I know that some of you have problems telling each other that you love each other, Scotty. I know that you have problems. I'll never forget that message as long as I live. I know that there is. But, you know, you don't necessarily have to say I love you to show someone that you love them or to prove to someone that you love them. You know what? It's actually easier to say it than it is to prove it. But Christ, He proved to us how much He loved us by laying His life down for us. And then He says, here is this great love that I've given you, and now I'm going to give you a command that you love one another like I've loved you. You know, it's impossible for me to love you like Christ loved you. It's impossible for me to love you like God loves you. It's impossible for me to have that kind of love for you. But we should strive to love as Christ loved us. As I become a Christian, I should want to be Christ-like. I should want to love everybody as Christ loved me. I should love everyone as Christ set the example and loved each and every one of us. But you see, as Christ set this perfect example of love, and then He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And He says, I've set you this perfect example, and now I've instructed you to love one another. And man, we try and we strive for that. We surround ourselves with people who are easy to love. We surround ourselves with people who are like-minded. We surround ourselves with people that think like we do and maybe like the same kind of things that we like, that have the same kind of idea about God and different things. And that's all wonderful. And those people are easier to love. Those people that sometimes we even look over some of their faults and we love them anyway. Those people are people that we try our best and say, you know what, I'm being Christ-like because I love this person. Even though they I don't understand everything about them, I still love them. But then Christ had to go a step further and give us Matthew chapter number 5, verse 43 through 46. He says, ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth the rain on the just and the unjust. Go back one verse, please, to verse number 44. I want you to look as God is instructing us how that we're supposed to love each other. He says, it's good to love your neighbor and love the people that you've surrounded yourself with. And you say, I'm like-minded like these people, and I want to love them and be with. But then he says, but I say to you, love your enemies. What, God? No, these are my enemies. You just said exactly. That's an oxymoron if I've ever heard one. Love my enemies? Bless them that curse you? Hey, just think for just a second. Maybe none of y'all have any enemies. And when I'm talking about enemies, you know, I'm not talking about somebody that's maybe trying to destroy your life. I'm just talking about somebody that gets on your ever-loving last nerve. You can't stand them. You never have to talk to them again, be just fine with you. Anybody got anybody like that? Amen, I do. And the Bible tells me, now he says, look, Christ says, love one another as I have loved you. And then he said, and then I set this great example of love for you that I laid my life down for my friends. And you say, well, he said friends. Hey, I don't know about you, but when Christ laid his life down for me, I wasn't his friend. He was not my father. He says, I laid my life down for whosoever will. So at the time that he laid his life down, we wasn't all his friends. And then he says, okay, now that I've instructed you to love everybody, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. I don't know. Look, y'all know that I don't spend a whole lot of time preaching on versions of the Bible, and I'm just a King James Bible man. But if there's a version out there that takes this verse out, let's change. Because it's tough. I'm being sarcastic. I'm not going to change. But it's tough to say, I want to love my enemies, and I want to bless them that curse me, and I want to do good to them that hate me, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. God, you got to be off your rocker. What in the world? Now, God, I really like this love thing that you give us, and we're supposed to love the people that we go to church with, and we love our families, and man, we help out the little family down the street that don't have it as good as everybody else, and we just, I mean, that's all warm, and that's all welcoming, and then God says, love your enemies. Then God says, bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. Sure, God. I'll pray for them. I'll pray I'll never have to talk to them again. I'll pray I'll never have to be around them again. I don't think that's what God's talking about here. You know, we use this word love, and we say, oh, I love everybody. Do we really? Because I think if we didn't have a hard time with that God wouldn't have had to give us Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. Luke chapter number 6, verse number 35. Listen to this one. See, God has to take everything, and when we're just thinking we're doing just awesome and we're doing so good because we love everybody, and then he just rips us apart. And he doesn't do it to rip us apart. He does it to try to help us to understand the love that he had for us and how that we're supposed to feel toward everybody else. Luke chapter 6, verse number 34, and if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much as again. And if you keep going in that scripture, I don't think I wrote down enough verses. Can you go to verse number 36? Or verse number 35. There you go. 6, 35, and 36. Yeah, I didn't give it to him. My bad. 36. Luke 6 and 36. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father is also merciful. He's saying here, you know, if you give to somebody because you're hoping to receive back from them, if you love them because you're hoping they're going to love you back, what gain have you? What have you done? But you know what? God wants us to love the people that's not going to love us back. He wants us to be good to the people that's not going to be good to us back. Those people that you can't stand to be around, and those that have got on your ever-loving last nerve, and those if you never had to talk again, it really wouldn't hurt your feelings that bad. And I know I'm being kind of crude with that, but I've honestly had those feelings about people in my life. I'm honestly struggling with that feeling about some people now in my life. And it gets to the place where I'm saying, oh, I love everybody. Do I really? Do I really love like Christ loved? Do I really care like Christ cared? You know, I want to do the things I want to give to those that are going to be a blessing in my life. I want to be merciful to the ones that are going to be merciful unto me. But that's not how God instructs us to love. That's not what God instructs us to do. He says, I've set this perfect example. He said, you say you want to be Christ-like. You coming in, you accepted me as your Savior, and now you call yourself a Christian, and you say you want to be Christ-like. Okay, well, don't just love the people that's easy to love. Don't just love the ones that are like you. Don't just love the ones that you get along with. He says, but I want you to love the ones that are unlovable. That's the example he set for us. I want you to love the ones that are mean to you. I want you to love the ones that use you. I want you to love the ones that you really are having a hard time even caring about. I want you to love them. How long has it been since you prayed for your enemy? I mean sincerely prayed, not prayed that you didn't have to see them again. I mean that you got down and said, God, I want you to bless them. God, if it's me that needs changing, change me. If it's them that needs changing, change them. Put us where we can actually be together at a certain time and not hate each other. That's hard. Well, preacher, I don't know. You might be stretching this thing. If you've ever had anybody that you really felt like done you wrong, and now you got a little chip on your shoulder with them, I do. I know some situations like that. And you get to the place where, if we'll be honest, we really don't even care for their soul the way that we should. We really don't pray for them and say, God, if they're not right with you, then somehow or another, God, if it's me that needs to go to them. You know, the Bible tells us really and truly, if you want to get right down to it, if they've done something against you, that you're supposed to forgive them before they ever even ask. That you're supposed to love them enough and forgive them. Well, I don't see I'm supposed to forgive somebody that's never asked for forgiveness. Well, I can't help you with how. I can just tell you why, because God said so. Because God instructed us like that. You know, it's so easy to throw around this little love thing. I don't know, I bet there's no telling how many little teddy bears and candy and roses and everything that was bought today or bought this week. Some of it was bought today and give and everything. And man, I'll just love you. But what about when it gets down to really loving people and really loving men's souls? What about when we get to the place where we really love like Christ loved? And all of this, I was reading some scripture last week, and all of this come from Exodus chapter number 23 and verse number 4. Listen to this verse of scripture right here. I was reading one night and ran across this verse of scripture. And actually, we're going to read verse 5 too. If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou see the donkey of him that hateth thee lying under his burden and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. Now wait just a minute. My enemy, the guy that's coming against me, the lady that's coming against me, you know, here's what we would do. Verse number 4, go back to verse number 4. He says, if thou meet thine enemy's ox or his donkey going astray. In other words, this dude's, his livestock's out. It's out and, man, it's just happened by your way. And, you know, I would look at that and I would say, well, look, God has had vengeance on my part. I'm going to take my neighbor's donkey and I'm going to take his ox. And ain't God's good. Hallelujah. We'd say, well, God has provided on my behalf, because here comes my enemy's ox. Here comes his donkey, and man, God just put it out here, and man, that's one. But look what the Bible says. The Bible says, if you see that, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. Oh, wait a minute, God. You expect me to go out here to somebody that's been doing me wrong, somebody that's done my family wrong, somebody that's done something bad to me in my life, and now all of a sudden I have an opportunity to take an advantage. Now all of a sudden I have an opportunity that I can get the upper hand. I have the opportunity to get just a little bit of revenge. Hallelujah, God. Thank you for sending that ox this way. That's the way I would think. But the Bible tells us, You go out there and you catch that ox. You catch that donkey. And you take him back to where he belongs. And you give him back. See, that's a love that's hard for us to understand. Because even if I didn't want the ox or the donkey, it'd be just as fun to run him across the road somewhere or another and hope he gets hit by a car or whatever to get vengeance on the enemy, right? That's our flesh. Y'all are looking at me like I'm awful, and y'all just ain't going to say it, and that's just all there is to it. It's more fun to say, here's an opportunity to get back. But you know what? That's not the example that Christ set for us. What if God and what if Christ gave us what we deserve? What if he gave us the vengeance that we deserve? What if he took out vengeance on us that we deserved? What if he had taken advantage of us? Or what if when something went wrong in our life and all of a sudden things are falling apart and God says, you know what, that's what you get. But that's not the example that he gives us. Now the question is, are we going to be Christ-like and say, God, let's just be honest, sometimes I don't like your word. And now, when I say that, we love the Word of God. But sometimes the Word of God hurts, don't it? The Bible says that it's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. This cuts. This is some of that stuff that just hurts when you read it. Wait a minute. I'm supposed to be good to my enemy? When I got a chance to get the upper hand, when I got a chance to take vengeance, I'm not supposed to do it? No, God says, you take him back home. You take him back where he goes. I'm glad that when God had the opportunity to cast me out, to say, ha, there you go, you messed up. I'm glad that he didn't do that, but he had mercy on me. He had grace on me. And time again, I still mess up and I still fall and I still come short. And still yet he so loves me that it's not his will for any to perish. And he still loves me that he's willing to forgive me and put me right back where I'm supposed to be. Now, the question is, are we going to be Christ-like? I don't know whether you have any enemies right now. Maybe this is all for me. You know what? This world that we live in, sometimes it can take you when you're trying to be Christ-like, when you want to live like Christ, and when you're striving for it. This world that we live in can really make it almost impossible to do that. The more I'm around people and the public, the more I like my dog. I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes people are the hardest thing in the world to put up with. Now, I love y'all. I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about people. But sometimes people, I mean, they can drive you to where, I mean, one minute you leave home and you're praying and you're reading God's word and, man, you feel like you're just getting ready to float off to glory. And one phone call or one bump in with the right person, and you got to be real careful. Your thoughts would send you to the bad place if it could. So we got to be careful because living in this world that we're living in, it's hard to be Christ-like. And I'm glad that God, he set the example high for us, and he said, look, you're not gonna duplicate my love. He said, because greater love hath no man than this. We're not going to duplicate Christ's love. But I think it's so supposed to be something that's in our heart that we strive for. Because you know what? That's what's going to set us apart. Anybody could take their enemy's ox or their enemy's donkey and go out there and knock him in the head and put him in the hole somewhere. Anybody could take their enemy's misfortune and go sell it and get gain for their self. Anybody could be glad that their enemy has lost everything. Anybody could do that. But you know what? It takes a child of God and somebody that's different and somebody that there's something special about to go catch him up and take him back. And that's when, if your enemy's not right with God, that may be the best thing in the world that shows them the love of Christ. Not many people in this world that don't know Jesus Christ are getting their nose in this Bible and reading it every day. Not many people that don't know Christ are going to church every Sunday and listening to the Word of God. So you know what they're depending on, and you know what it's going to depend on for them to come to know Christ is your life and my life. What are we showing? Are we showing them the love of Christ, or do we let this flesh bubble up and say, well, I believe that God just worked this whole thing out for me right here. Because we can make a lot of excuses and turn it around any way we want to. But I want to encourage us tonight not to just love the ones it's easy to love. Hey, it's not easy to love somebody that does something against you. It's not easy to love somebody that's caused your family pain. It's not easy to love somebody that you feel like is constantly jabbing at you and you feel like it's constantly coming against you. But Christ instructs us to love them. Good luck with it. Y'all pray for me, and I'll pray for y'all, that we go out here and we show a lost and a dying world the love of Christ through our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I know that I'm nothing without you. And God, I shouldn't be preaching this message. I shouldn't be teaching this lesson tonight, God, because there are things that I know that are in my heart that's not pleasing, that I don't love people like I should. And God, I pray to your Father, dear Lord, that you'll forgive me. And God, I pray that you'll help me to strive for that love of Christ in my life. I pray that you'll help me, God, that when it seems like that I have an opportunity to go against my enemy, that I have the opportunity to score one for my team, that God, that I'll remember the mercy that you had on me, the love that you had for me, that you was willing that no matter what I did against you, that you was willing to give your son Jesus Christ for me and my sins. God, I do pray for all these families in our church that are hurting. I pray for the ones, God, that are going through different battles and different situations. God, I pray for the families in our church, God. I pray that you'll just be with them in a special way. And God, help us to always be what you'd have us to be. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.